rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. We're glad that you're here and a part of it. We welcome you. You know, I was humming along with this song come to my mind and so forth. You know, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people, and you are God's wonderful people, and it is a thrill to be here with you, and thank you for being here and being a part of the church family, and I just pray that you will be blessed as I am blessed being here in the Lord's house and being with God's people here at Porter. What a joy it is to know. As I was coming out the road, and I see all the cars passing and coming and going and so forth, and I thought, boy, everybody's so busy. Where are they all going? And then I thought about, boy, it'd be nice if everybody could just be like you could settle down for just a short while and have a time together of worshiping God and having peace with one another and just enjoying the good things of God. Thank you for being here, and may God bless you as we worship together this morning. What I'm going to share with you from Psalms 19, and it reads like this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man a run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit into the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat of thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let thy words in my mouth and thy meditation in my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
For him of worship this morning, here's number 183. Sing the first verse only, and Benny will have the prayer. It's all then.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shed a kiss, fell in with joy and felt. He made all of the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful that we have this time together. And Heavenly Father, we come together, and first of all, we want to thank you for this past week and the blessings that we received in it and your help that you helped us through it, dear God. And Heavenly Father, we know that several of the people here have faced difficulty things this week, and you've been good to us, and you've helped us through them, dear God, and you've strengthened us in our walk with Christ, and we're so thankful for that. So this morning, Heavenly Father, we come back And one of the things we want to do, Heavenly Father, is just to bow before you and say thank you, dear God, for your goodness, your mercy, your love toward us. Thank you for your willingness to give your only begotten Son that we might not only enjoy this life, but have hope of eternal life, Almighty God. You have good things in this life, but better things yet to come, you promised us. And Almighty God, we thank you for that. That helps us and strengthens us and gives us, encourages us in this life. So Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, we look over and we see one another, and we know that you love them, and we know, Heavenly Father, that they love you. And then what an encouragement it is to see people come together that love you and love the Lord Jesus Christ. So dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless each one present this morning in a wonderful way. Deal with them very kindly and help them, Heavenly Father. Give them instructions, give them guidance, Heavenly Father, to go forth this week and be victorious over all the things in Christ Jesus. Thank you once again for loving us and being so kind to us. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you for it. Amen.
Now for our communion hymn, going to use number 160. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains.
I'm going to be reading through Luke 22:15. And he said to them, with the czar, I have desired to keep this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not more eat thereof until it be fulfilled the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This I do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament of blood which is shed for you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to gather here. Take Holy Communion. As we take this bread, help us to remember it represents Jesus' broken body, and the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this great sacrifice, and we come now and ask for that forgiveness when we fail you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for this beautiful Lord's Day you provided for us, another day of life. We're thankful for your love and your watch care over us as we come to this time in our program that we present just a small portion of what you so richly have blessed us with. We should be glad and honored to return just this small portion that you've given to us. We do keep the biggest majority of it, Father. We pray that we use it for the betterment of your kingdom as well. Be with us now throughout this service. Be with Brother Benny as he brings a message to us. And thankful again, Father, for those that give a special effort to be here in your house this morning. Forgive us for all the mistakes that we do make, for these things we do pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
A couple announcements to share with you this morning. One is that the Majesty Messengers invite you and all to Fall Cantata, August the 26th. At 3 p.m. at Stamping Ground Christian Church. I'll put this back on the bulletin back there, and you'll be able to see then. Be reminded. Also, this evening we are again going to dismiss Bible study. I wish I had to just give that over to Doodle, and he would have been kind enough to do it. I know that. But next week, Maxine will be back with us, and hopefully, and I'm pretty sure she will be. I'm believing that she will be. And we'll get back on it. We don't want you to get used to not having Bible study. We started that because the people wanted to have that, and it is a good thing to have. And it's a good thing to invite people too. Now, you can invite people to a Bible study that won't take your invitation to come to church. But if you can invite people to come to a Bible study and with you and so forth, and they'll usually get involved, and the next thing you know, they'll be in church. So that's a good way to get your friends or your neighbor that you'd love to see come to the Lord in church. So we want to continue to do that. Okay, and so let us turn then to our prayer list, and we have much we want to share with you this morning. And let me share with our deal, I guess, and get it out of the way. As we told you last week, we thought Maxine had allergies and so forth. And so last Sunday when I got home, we finally come to the agreement that Monday morning we were going to go to the doctor or to the hospital. We're going somewhere to get something because she wasn't doing good. 10 o'clock Sunday night, we had to go to the emergency room. And she just couldn't stand it. Her face was just swelled up and so forth and a real mess. And she had such a headache, so we went to the hospital. I'll tell you this little funny thing. It's not funny, but it was in a way. But as we went, and the nurse, there was a nurse there at the counter to check us in. And we did all the things we had to do. And I was standing here, and Maxine was standing there, and this nurse here. And the nurse leaned over and said, "Have you been hit?" And I thought, is she insinuating that I hit my wife? But honestly, her face looked like she'd been about five rounds with Jersey Joe. You know, it was a mess. But anyhow, it was shingles. And I've come to a greater respect for those people who have shingles. I've heard of them. I knew people having them. I've prayed with people that had shingles. But I didn't know that they were that severe. I know next time I pray for somebody who's got shingles, I'll have a different appreciation for what God does for us. But she's doing right well, and so it's several days with the headache and so forth that some of you people know, and many of you people have had shingles, so you know what it is. But she's doing pretty good, and they're kind of drying up, and so hopefully next week she'll be able to come back with us. Now, to my prayer list. Rex, here's some. Let me give you some that you can take off, Donna. I believe they said Rex Fairgill. You can take him off. They're in Florida and so forth, and we don't know what's going on there. And for Kay, our daughter Kay, she is normal now, and she's doing good, and she's back to everything that she's able to do. And we just had a good time the other day together. And but they are still looking at what happens, what's causing this, and she may have it again next year or sometime. It could come back, but for right now, it's gone, and she's able to function just like normal. So we praise the Lord for that. Josh Bailey is doing good. So take him off. Agnes McKinney, you can keep her in your daily prayers and so forth, but she's doing good in the rest home and so forth, and they're taking, you know, they take care of those people, and they do good, so we can take her off. As far as, I don't know how you do this, and you know, we're concerned about everybody and their needs and so forth, but then, and you can keep them on your daily prayers and so forth, but the, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. Let's see, who else? All right, that's the only ones I think we need to take off at the present time. Kenny Spadlin. Yeah, take Kenny Spadlin. As we said a couple weeks ago, he's doing good. And here's one you can add, if you will, please. There's a five-year-old little Ivy that I've been talking about that has cancer. Keep that little child on your little gal on your prayers. She's doing good, but isn't it something how that these children of 2, 3, 5, 10 years old can deal with that? They can deal with it better than older folks, it seems like. So, and I think that's good. That helps them and so forth. So to get better. Okay, and while I think about Kathleen, some of you probably already know. Kathleen will be back Thursday. her doctor.
She'll be back tomorrow.
Karen's doctor has an accident or something and couldn't do the operation, so now it's set up for September and so forth. So you can kind of pray that off. Pray for that, that things will go well. Pray for a safe trip for Kathleen back to us. We'll be glad to see her, that's for sure. And let's see now. David Dross, they're trying to get the surgery set up for him, as we've told you about the difficulties he's had and so forth. Hope that'll work out. Now, Judy has a couple of nieces, and I met one just here a week or two ago, about a month ago. And Kenny, her husband, has cancer. And then also a one by the name of Alice also has lung cancer. So there's a couple of cancer people that we want to keep in our prayers. And then also Peggy's had some tests and so forth and not got results back. So we're just going to pray that you'll get some positive things back from that, things to be taken care of. And God will work good things for you, Peggy. We sure do. And then Bob Parker, who has been here, and you all know, and they're acquainted with the Lee family here and good friends of Mike's and all, and just real close. And we got to know them real well, quite well. And Bob is not doing well at all and needs prayers and just God bless him and comfort him and so forth. And then Mary Ruth needs a special prayer. And let's see, who else we have here? I hope I'm not leaving some out. I have so many that we're concerned about. But God is good and God is working. And we know, the Bible teaches us, and Jesus even taught, we're going to suffer things of this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. But the things of this world affects us, and cancer is one of those things. Various diseases and different things happens, but God is good and God helps us, and we're so thankful that to be able to see His helping hand. And sometimes God does things in a different way than we would maybe think they are, or would like to see them, but God has good reasons for that. And so I have to believe that through the things that we suffer, God helps us. And in doing so, He does what is best for us. And sometimes the best thing for a person who is very ill and in great discomfort is to take them home. So we don't really know. We always hope and we pray for the best things and so forth, but we want to always trust God knows what's going on, and we will accept what He does because we know He does things well. Pauline, yeah, I knew I had somebody else on my mind and went to the doctor, and she's encouraged by what the doctor told her and so forth, and so we're thankful for that. And okay, as we come to our prayer time, we have so much to be thankful for. God is so good, our nation and those people in the care homes and such, and pray for the doctors that care for the people, and they've gone to school, they've sacrificed so that they could be able to help us in our illness and so forth, and they need our prayers, so pray for them. And then pray for each other. Oh my, pray for each other. God's blessing upon you. And be thankful and what God is doing in your brother and sister in Christ's lives. It's so good as we come to our prayer time.
For prayer, I'm using number 19, singing the first verse, and I'll have the prayer. That's all I'm saying. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Father in heaven, we thank you again for another privilege you granted us together in your house.
on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise, hear thy word proclaimed. Be with the ones on the prayer list, comfort and restore them back to their health again. And go with us now through the further exercise of service. Be with us as many brings the morning message. Forgive us where we fail thee, as we're addressed in thy name. Amen. Amen. That invitation to him will be number 334.
All right, here we go. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory,
and it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down.
Written down, there's a new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story.
A sinner has come home, has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know, by the blood I am made whole, and made whole, for there's a new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to, never more to, never more to roam. Never to roam.
Thank you, Michael and Sierra. Thank you for going to great effort for that. In our announcing on our prayer list and so forth, and gosh, I always kind of forget, I guess, and I always like to give the praise reports, and then I ask Donna how she's doing. She's doing good, and we're so glad to see she's not got her fanny thing or sling on and so forth. That's good, and then Mike, get her back to her details. Okay. All right. Great. Hey, and I guess everybody knows Charles is visiting with us today. Good to see you, Charles. Thank you. Romans chapter 12. I'd like to share with you this morning some thoughts along this line from chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, really. And they read like this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I use this second verse here, and I know probably you'll think some of these messages might, they do have an overtone of some of the others, but hopefully that they'll be different. And so I just titled this morning, you know, that in Christ I'm different. And I mean that in a good sense, because if you wanted to take it in a wrong sense, a bad sense, that you could. But I mean it in a good sense. So as we have practiced in the last week or so, say that with me. In Christ, I am different. That doesn't mean that we are strange, you know. It doesn't mean that we're weird or legalistic. It doesn't mean that we can't have fun, because God has ordained us to do that. But the apostle warns us and says that a Christian must be different. And he warns that not let the world squeeze us into its mold. Do not conform to this age. Do not do the things the world would have us to do. But be transformed by the renewing of the mind, it says here. And when we renew the mind, our mind ought to be thinking like Christ thinks. And renewing the mind, we begin to think different. We begin to talk different. We begin to walk different. We begin to live different. And we begin to love different. And it's so great. And so we are different. And it's in a good sense that we're different. I'm not saying we're better than, you know, or holier than thou. We're different. And hopefully as we talk about here in the next few minutes a few things, you'll agree the fact that we need to be different. Different means, you know, confirming to something or someone, to obey or agree with something, to do what other people do. We conform. That's conforming. To behave in a way that is acceptable to others. You know, for, you know, just if you go to get a job, why, your behavior ought to be acceptable to the employer as the employees as to what the employer requires. And why do people conform? And there are several reasons why people conform. And a person may conform because they feel they want to feel part of the group. And a person may conform to be, you know, to gain social approval. They are acceptance from other members of groups. A person may conform to not be criticized. A person may conform to not be ignored. A person may conform hoping to avoid feeling inferior to others. You know, a teenager, he might dress the way others do so that he will be counted in to the group, that the other guys will invite him into their social group. A 20-year-old who just went into college may go on a binge drinking with the other girls just to be a part of the group, confirm to them. I read about this woman who was a member of a book club, and she read this book, and she was excited about it. She really liked that book. But when the club met that week, all the other members, they say they didn't like the book. And so it wouldn't come to her time. Well, she said, well, the book wasn't very good. Conforming. So people conform for many different reasons. We just had a good example when we were studying from the book of Daniel. Do you remember just a month or two ago? And we had a good example of young people who would not conform to the world, even though they were thrown into it. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not conform to the king's demands. They stood out. They stood out. And we live in a society that wants to conform us. They want to conform us to their way. Democrats want to conform us to their agenda. Republicans wants to conform us to their agenda. There's hundreds of religious groups wants to conform us to their group. But in all of them, you will find a degree of worldliness. A degree of worldliness in them. But the Bible and Jesus alone teaches us what is called the gospel, which is the good news from God. People which are followers of Christ are called Christians, and Christians is composed of the teaching of Jesus. Now, Christians are called to not be conformed to the world, to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so it goes back to the thinking, to what you have in your mind. What is the proverbial right? You know, as a man think that it is. And so it's thinking here. Our minds are to look upon those things which are acceptable to God. Last week we talked about, I have, you know, in Christ I am accepted. So now if we are accepted in Christ we are accepted, then we must be different. We must do the things that are acceptable unto God. That's what Jesus did. He said, I came not to do my will, but to do the things the Father. To do those things which are acceptable for the Father. And so you and I, being accepted into the family of God, are to be different. And we're to do those things which are acceptable to God, our Heavenly Father there. And so God calls us to be separated from the world. We're Christians to be different in the world. We talked about that, being light and being salt. Those are different things in the world that we have. And that is that we are not to participate in the evil and the immoral things of the world. That doesn't mean that we can't go out and we can't enjoy the things that God has. That doesn't mean we can associate with the things of the world. It just means that we are not to be a part of the immoral and evil things of the world. There is many, many things that we can enjoy together and we can enjoy with people of the world, but we do not enjoy conform to their evil things and the immoral things that is taking place. We find that in the Old Testament times that was a terrible, terrible thing that happened to God's people, that they conformed. You know, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, don't you go in there and fool around with the Midianites, because they are no good. They're evil, and they will ruin you. And we know, as we study, we know that they did not do what God said to do, and they did mingle with the other people there, and they did get in trouble, and they did then conform to many of their ways. Same way when they got into the promised land, if you remember when Joshua led them into the promised land, God said, I'm going to take you in here and you don't get involved with the Canaanites. I'm going to destroy them. They're evil and they're immoral, and you are not to be a part of them. You're to be different. And you are going to honor and worship me, and I'm going to bless you. And that's so many words that he says that would take place there. And so we're not called to fit in. We're called to stand out, you know, to stand out. You know, I mentioned the Amish last week, I think it was in the message, you know, of how they dress. We know when we see them, we know who they are, where, you know. And so they stand out. And I don't know whether they, you know, just do that to do it. I want to think that that's just their way of life and so forth. And, you know, by looking at them, you know who they are. And that's the way with Christians. I mean, you ought to be able to look, or you ought to be able to hear what a person is saying, and you ought to be able to know then who they are, if they're of the world or if they're Christians or if they're God, doing the things of God. And so, yes, we're called to not to fit into, but to send out. We're separating ourselves from the world and to stand out for that which is acceptable unto God, that which is acceptable in the sight of God. He's the one, as we said before, and we said in many of our messages, you know, he's the one that really counts, you know. We like to be acceptable, as we said last week. We like to be acceptable in life and so forth and the things we do. But the main point is, are we acceptable in God? Are we doing the things that are acceptable in God? We're going to be different people. We're going to do those things which are acceptable to God, whether the world cares about it or not, whether the world likes it or not. We're going to do those things which are acceptable to God. We're going to be different, and we're going to stand out from those things. I think Paul is saying, you know, is simply just saying, don't fit in with the latest fashions. You know, it's interesting, and ladies, I'm not making fun of you at all, but, you know, it's interesting to me. I don't know who these people comes up with all these designs, you know, for all these clothing and so forth. Men are just about as bad. Not quite as bad. but here comes a new fashion skirt, a new fashion blouse or something, and boy, most of the women have to have it, you know. And I'm glad that you folks don't do that, you know, because some of them things are, they're weird, you know. Who does that? You know? But what Paul's saying is, you know, don't go off the latest fashions. Don't get caught up with the last thing that's the last big thing that's happening. You know, here he's saying, I think Paul is saying that we can't fit into the rest of the world and then to expect that we will do the will of God or know the will of God. That's almost like, you know, the politicians has that little thing. You can't straddle the fence. Well, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. That's for sure. In the heavenly things, that's for sure. And what Paul is saying, you just can't let the world cram in on you. You can't be a part of the world and be able to enjoy what God has for you. You can't be the person that God wants you to have if you're going to be a person of the world. It just doesn't work that way. But he says, be transformed by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life and make you like Jesus. That's what we sing. We sing more and more about Jesus, what I know. More and more, ever tell. More would I like to be like Jesus, you know. And that's what we all do. We want the Holy Spirit. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want the Holy Spirit to conform us to the likeness of Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Think and as Jesus thinks and do as Jesus did. And again, I say Jesus did all the things that was acceptable to his Father. He always looked at what the Father wanted. I do the things that please the Father, he says. He didn't come to please himself and do his own thing. He came to do the Father's will and come to please the Father. And we, when we become children of God, which we said in Christ, we're a child of God. And we become a child of God, we want to do those things which are acceptable. And we want to do those things which are pleasing to the Father, don't we? And that's why we need to stand out. That's why we need to be different. That's why we need to conform not to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind to the things that are God here. Now, let me ask you a question. Why should we conform? Why should we conform when we could stand out? Why should we conform when we can stand out? Jesus. Let's think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus stood out. And when Jesus came, he's King of Kings. When he was born, he didn't conform to the ways of the world, or the standards of the world. If he had, what would have happened? They would have put him on a pedestal in the temple and so forth and crowned him there as king. And they would have did everything for him that convenient for him that could be and brought all things. He would have lived in the palace and he would have had a king-sized bed with a pediatric mattress and all that good things. His table would be filled with all the things from the farmer's market, all the good things that you could find down there. I mean, he would have servants that would serve him and just do every kind of thing. He'd ride in the golden chariot with the great stallions pulling it and all that. But he didn't. That's the way the kings lived, isn't it? But he's King of Kings. And he didn't conform to the standards of the world, that's for sure. In fact, Jesus was born in a very obscure place, Nazareth, and a place where God loved that place and where mercy came from, and all the people of that place would define his ministry from there. And instead of servants, what did Jesus, instead of having servants to serve, what he served. Instead of serving others, instead of having others serve, he served. He washed the disciples' feet. He healed the sick. He visited the poor. You know, how many kings would have even spoke to a leper, let alone touch them? And Jesus spoke to them. Jesus touched them. Jesus healed them. How many kings would fool around with some of the people that were looked down upon? None of them. Jesus did. Jesus came and looked upon the people that the world looked down on, ministered to them in all sorts of ways. What king would have forgiven anybody that trespassed against them? None, but Jesus did. And the last thing we hear from the cross, Father God, forgive them, for they know what they do. They nailed him to the cross, and he forgave them. What king would do that? Only the King Jesus would do that. He did not conform to the ways of the world. He stood out. He stood out. And we are called not to fit into the world, but to be different, to stand out for Jesus. We're called to not to conform to the world and the ways of life, but to stand out and be different for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus commands us to be different. You know, I visualize Jesus as he walked along the shores of Galilee, and there was Peter, James and John, Andrew. But he came to Peter and Andrew, and went to James and John, and they were fishermen. They lived on the shores of Galilee, really. They were fishermen. Their fathers were fishermen. They lived there on the sea as fishermen. They only knew to fish. And Jesus comes along and invites them to come. And he would make them fishers of men. He would make them different people. You know, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they could have all said, oh, no, we're going to stay here. They lived at the Sea of Galilee, and their profession was fishermen. They could have continued to be fishermen. They could have took over the family business and been fishermen the rest of their life. What happened? Jesus comes along, and they meet Jesus, and he changes their life. They're different now. Their lives was never the same after they met Jesus. Because Jesus didn't fit in to the world, he invited people to not fit into the world. When we get saved, we become followers of Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit power works in our lives. Jesus wants us to be different from the worldly ways and not to blend in, and the Holy Spirit will help us not to do that. Another example was the Apostle Paul. If you remember the story of the Apostle Paul, when we read about him first, he is Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. And Paul terrorized Christians. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he approved of Stephen's death. He brought persecution to Jerusalem. He played havoc with the church, the scriptures teach us. People feared him. He went from house to house. He was dragging out men and women and taking them to be put in prisons and even put to death. And Jesus confronts him. Acts 9:1, on the way to Damascus, and he was going to Damascus. And he was going there to terrorize and to capture more people who called themselves Christians and to bring them to be imprisoned and so forth. He played havoc with them there. He persecuted the Christians there. He was going to persecute more Christians there at Damascus. And there he met Jesus on the road. Some people said that he had a Damascus road experience. But however you can call it, he met Jesus and he became a different person. And now we know him as the Apostle Paul. And his life was never the same. Once he was a crusader to crucify Christians, really. And now he's busy teaching people and converting people into Christianity. And he was in the world, and the world was in him. And now he's different, and he's teaching people and preparing people for an experience that's out of the world. What a difference Jesus makes in the lives of people. The Apostle Paul no longer fits in with the rest of society. He is different. And he's different between the powers, you know, the priest and so forth. He went to the high priest to get a warrant to go to Damascus. And then later we see him speaking to the high priest Annas, and telling him about Jesus. Different. We're to be different. I don't know whether you remember or not, but back in, I believe it was in 2014, CVS, one of the major drug outlets, they took a stand to be different. And they said, we will no longer sell cigarettes or tobacco products in our stores. And so the report was that in a certain time they were taken out of all their stores across America, cigarettes and tobacco products. And they did. Now, they set forth to lose $2 billion. And here's what they said. They said, we set out to be a physician, a drugstore. to have facilities, to have drugs to minister to people for good health. And here we are selling products that destroys life. They took a stand. They took a stand. I think it was another store that Hobby Lobby, wasn't it, that took a stand to be different. If you remember, and when I mention presidents or ex-presidents, I'm not being critical. It's just the fact that those things have happened. But they took a stand against the Obamacare, and they won a space on a lawsuit because this is what they said. They were Christian people, and so they were for life, right? And Obamacare, if you remember, was trying or did say that even Christian institutions would have to furnish protective sexual things and then pay for abortion, you know, so forth, for their employees. And so they took a stand. So what am I saying here? We, as them people took stands, we must be different. What are we? We are, what is our goal? Our goal is to share life. The life that God gives. The life that comes through Jesus Christ. We are to be that light of the world and share with people who will come to know the light of the world is Jesus. And if we're not different, if we allow the world to be a part of us, and per se, we sure are not going to be. To sell, to be a person, a company who is in the business to help people be healthy, and also to sell the same store, sell things that will destroy their lives, doesn't work, isn't right. And so we as Christians ought to take some examples from that. And we need to dare to be different because they dared to be different. My point is that many people today don't want to stand out. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want to be made fun of. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but I kind of think that most people want to blend in. You know, Peter did that. Peter was a follower of Christ. And the night that Jesus was arrested, the night that he was taken into a mock trial, instead of standing out and being different, you know what Peter did? He blended in. The little lady said, "You're one of them." He said, "No, I'm not." And he gathered with the group around the campfire, blended in. You know the story of Peter, though, that how he repented of that and God, and the Lord made sure that he knew he was back in his fold. But that happens. People wants to blend in. Read this account in New Way. I jotted down, yeah. An article from LifeWay took this survey. They took a survey, and 80% of people that goes to church once a month at least said they felt that they had an obligation to share Jesus. That's great, isn't it? 80% of the people who go to a church at least once a month said that they felt they had an obligation to share Jesus with people so that people could come to know Jesus and be saved. Make disciples, in other words, and that's what we are to do. We're to share our story of Jesus and share our life and share about Jesus so that more disciples will be made. 80% of them, well, that's really good. But here's the sad thing about it. They said 61% of them said that they had never shared a thought with anybody else about Jesus in 6 months. That leaves 19% that shared. If we took that in our church, and I hope we're 100% of that, but if we took that in our church here, that would mean, we got 40, we got 10, that would mean 10 of you people. 4 or 10. 10, I think I had it figured out. 10 of our people. Maybe it was only down to 4. I'll have to refigure that, Michael. You're good at figures. But percentage-wise, on that basis, that would only say if there's only 4 people out of this group here that shared Jesus with anybody in the last 6 months. That'd be tragic, wouldn't it? But that's what the survey did. That's what they come up with. They asked the people, and they came up with that. What a tragedy. But our goal as Christians is to be different. And if we're different, we're to make disciples. And we will make disciples if we're different. To make disciples, we have to stand out. Jesus stood out. The disciples stood out. The Apostle Paul stood out. And Peter stood out. Ought not Christians then to be different? To stand. Listen, folks, if we are going to change our world, if we're going to have any influence on our world at all, if we're going to help this nation America to be the godly nation ought to be, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to be different. We're going to have to stand out. That's what the Lord Jesus would have us do. When you give your heart and life to Jesus, you become saved. And maybe for some here this morning, that is a decision you need to make. I don't know. In Christ, we are to be different. We are set apart to God's ownership. We now are children of God, and we are to be used of God for His purpose and His approval. You know, if you would go and stick a key into that socket on the wall, the electric socket, you'd be changed. And you, it would be seeable. That might be a poor illustration, but it's pretty close. When you connect by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, you experience something very wonderful and you are changed and you are to be different. Let us be different for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to exercise the power that Christ has given us through the Holy Spirit to stand up, to stand out, to be different so that this world will honor our great God and our wonderful Savior. You know, Jesus is coming soon, and it may be sooner than we think. Satan and all of his evil then will be put down. Every person in Christ who has stood to be different is going to be caught up with the Lord and will forever be with Him in the glories of heaven. How wonderful that will be. And I encourage you then this morning to think about that. We as Christians in Christ, we're different. And we're different in a good, very good sense, friends. Let's stand and sing the invitation. First one.
Oh. Christ.